Obviously, I've been there, done that. So I try to educate other people on the entire process of getting a loan, opening up a business, and the struggles that it takes to get to that. Because there's a lot more into it than a lot of people think. And I think one of the other things that really helps push people over the edge is having that little bit of obsession when it comes to their business. Like, I'm absolutely obsessed with everything that I do. And if someone's coming into a business, they need to be obsessed with it and really sit there and try to figure out what industry can they go in and just disrupt.
Dude, I forgot that you got a poly tattoo, by the way.
Yeah, man, it's bro. I've had it for a minute now.
Dude, that's so crazy. That's awesome. Well, welcome, Stanton. Dude, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, appreciate it. Like, I'm glad you reached out the other day.
Yeah, dude, I know. I was I'm going through like a career transition. I'm on the side right now. Like, I'm still with Dirty Dough. We'll be with Dirty Dough for a while. But I think, it's just a pretty awesome thing. But I remember us when we first met, we talked about the tattoo because we got our tattoo at the same place.
Yeah, over at Frost City.
Yeah. Who is your artist?
Mine is actually Fred Frost.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude. So you did you do your tattoo a while ago or did you wait like the year or two to get on his thing, man?
So what it was, for my first one, I had to book it a year out, had to pay a deposit. Yeah. Yeah. And it was crazy because like I booked it and I didn't even tell my wife or anything. It just like in the middle of the night one night, I was emailing Fred. I never had a tattoo before. So I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to shot him an email, pay the deposit that same night. Uh-huh. And I decided right then and there, I was getting a half sleeve and my wife had no color.
Well, it's a little longer than half now, isn't it? Now you got 3/4, you've added to it or what?
Yeah, now I got a 3/4. It goes past my elbow. It goes all the way around. And then it goes up my shoulder and then partly onto my back.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. Holy cow. Well, bro, I'm super glad that we got to chat because I wanted to talk to you kind of about franchising and maybe lending, especially because there's a lot of like craziness in the water. You know, Feds just raised the rate 0.25%. I'm sure that doesn't help anybody. But what do you say to people? I think this is the biggest question. Somebody wants to start a business right now. Like everybody is told if you follow social media and that hustle culture thing that a recession or like a economic downturn is a great time to start a business and really capitalize on things if you've prepared. Is it still a good time to get a loan right now?
Yeah, and the way that it works is like, especially because most people are going to get like an SBA loan. So with an SBA loan, it's going to be a variable rate. It's going to go out 10 years. What's awesome, especially if you went to like a franchise business, you're not trying to do a startup. Most lenders or majority of lenders are going to come only make you come with 10% down. So if it's a $500,000 loan, after closing costs and everything, you only have to come with 50% or $50,000. So you really don't have to come with a whole lot out of pocket. And when the rates go up, the rate's going to go up on your loan as well, but it's also going to go down when the rates go down.
Oh, wow. So I didn't know that SBA loans were variable rates. I thought they were fixed.
So it depends. So there are some lenders that will do for like leasehold improvements type spaces. So for like Dirty Dough, Glow, the ones that are going to like a strip center and you're just leasing that space, it's typically going to be a variable rate, but some lenders will do a fixed rate. It might be a higher fixed rate. So right now you might go into and get a fixed rate at 8.5% or 9%.
Yeah.
But for me, if I'm going to go ahead and do that, I'd rather go ahead and get a variable rate. It might be 10.25% right now, and then it's going to drop down later. So it might go back down to 7.6. So I'd rather go ahead and take that risk.
Yeah. But
commercial real estate, they'll do a fixed rate over 25 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy, man. No, loans are just something that not a lot of people understand. I think that's the big piece it doesn't really matter who you follow, like starting a business, getting that extra working capital, like there is some, you know, quick cash injection that can help you go to the next level, especially in business when speed is the name of the game, right? Yeah. Like getting that next one, getting hit off the road, right? And just, you know, it's just crazy how, you know, people are so kind of adverse to loans. But from a business setting, and this is what I've kind of always said, is like, there's a difference, because I got, you know, I've got my degrees in finance and accounting, and it's like, there's a difference between personal finance and business finance. I think that's a really big distinction that people don't make. You know what I mean? Yeah,
it's crazy, because my background's in finance and accounting. Before we even hopped on to this, like I was kind of mentioning to you, is like, my background was over at SC Johnson, Tyson Foods. I was all like, I was a senior financial analyst for the FP&A team over at Tyson. So I reported to my director. She reports to the SVP, and then just straight to our CFO. So there's not a whole lot of layers in between. So there's a lot of exposure there. And doing that versus coming over here and actually owning my own business and seeing the financials from my point of view now, it's completely different. And then you sit there and I'm looking at it from a individual standpoint of me doing my own personal investments, things like that, stocks, budgets, things like that, way different. So it's, you have to turn into like a different mindset of everything to really be able to successfully do what you want to do and grow at a exponential rate without growing too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, like, you know, having somebody on your side, kind of like you. So I know that you do a lot of loans, right? You're a loan broker. Is that the term you would use?
Yeah. So I consider myself an SBA loan broker. I'll do commercial loans too, but SBA is the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, so you've got that, but you're also the director of franchise development at Glow Tanning, a pretty successful franchise.
Yes. I became the director of franchising for Glow just back in May of 22.
Yeah, I think that's when we met. I think we met pretty close to that, by the way.
Yeah.
I think we met in like June or July.
I didn't see that long ago, too.
Yeah. It really doesn't, dude. It's been almost a year, and that's wild. But what about franchising? Do you like when you think about somebody who wants to start a business, why would somebody go franchise route versus maybe trying to start up their own thing or buying a non-franchise business?
Honestly, dude, for me, the biggest thing that attracted me to Glow, one was I worked for Glow back when I was in college. I worked for our CEO as an hourly employee, so I got to see the growth, so that I have a different like perception than a lot of other people. But the bigger aspect of it was that I'm coming into a business that is a proven model. It works,
right?
First off. Second off, you have a support system from the franchise. So with Glow, we offer our marketing department, and that will do all the ads for you. We have a Google Ads guy that will set everything up. You just pay hit him. You don't pay the franchise. For our branding agency, we have two branding agencies that we work with. They do our site. They'll do all the marketing and all that. We just have to pay the specific ad spend as a franchisee. And then we also have a guest services department. So the guest services department, they like all the number that's listed on Google, the number that's listed on your front door, that redirects to our call center. And we don't have to worry about, as an individual franchisee owner, or franchise owner, having to get on the phone with clients every single day. If there's an issue, they may want a refund, whatever it may be, it redirects to corporate, and our call center will handle that for us. So I can worry about actually running my business, and two, coaching my team, and then three, my team inside the store can give the most luxurious experience possible without taking away from deal with these like nonstop phone ringing.
Yeah. I think that's a really big one, especially since I've been in the franchise world. It's really interesting, because one of the things that I'm a huge proponent of is like, I've started a couple of businesses myself, and they just like, some of them have been pretty good, but most of them haven't been pretty good. And so it's interesting that like, that's not uncommon though, right? Most people, like when they start a business, don't really hit the levels that they expect or they want. But when you're in a franchise and they've already gone through all the hiccups, they've already messed with all of that, and you're just adding to the brand and honestly keeping like a really good percent, like there have been many people who've been made millionaires from franchising that you just don't ever hear about, because people just don't realize, you know, they don't think it's glamorous or whatever. Like, what do you think are some of the common misconceptions about franchising that you have to overcome?
I think a lot of, like, some of the misconceptions that are, one, it's they're coming into a brand that, okay, cool, this is a franchise, so once I pay my money, it's going to run itself. I don't have to do anything, which isn't the case. You actually still have to run a business, and a lot of people don't to realize
that's so true.
Hey, like nothing's free like in this world. And no matter what you do, you're gonna have to put in work, you're gonna have to put in money, whatever it is, you have to put something in to get something out. Now, I think a lot of people don't realize that when they're coming into a franchise. And then two, I think they think a franchise, even though you're coming as a franchisee, you're gonna get more than what you're actually gonna get. You're gonna get the moon and everything. We're gonna provide our support, but we're not gonna do the work for you.
Right. That is a big one. I think, and then I think a lot of people who are just exploring the industry in general don't really understand. I think there's a big misconception around, you know, like what you said. I think it's kind of an extension of what you mentioned as far as like, oh, I can just buy this and it'll plug and play and it'll run itself, because they don't really feel like it's their business. It's someone else's, but it's yours. Like you take home almost all of the net, right? Like you have some royalties and some marketing fees, but usually that's about it, right? But other than that, all the rest of the stuff is like a normal business, right? Like if you were starting that, right? And most people just think you're working for somebody else. And that's just, I don't know. There's so many franchises out there. I don't think I could know all of them, but majority of them, you it's like you said, right? Like you've got to step up. It's your business. You've got to make this work. And like selling that, being on the opposite end of that, like in communicating that, that's a huge deal for me as like and I'm sure for you, right? As like, cause we take people through the whole sales process, the franchise sales process. And so for me, it's like, dude, you've got to understand that like, if this doesn't work, it's probably not us.
Yeah. And what I like to do is, but me being a franchisee myself, so I own 4 stores. So I opened my first store in September of 2021, became the director of franchising in May of 2022. I think a lot of people are sitting there, they have like this own like misconception of the franchising, like we're kind of talking about. And so what I like to do is I'll sit there, I'll tell my story from the very beginning. I'll tell how I started off as an hourly employee, went to college, graduated, went work corporate, came out, had some money, put it into Glow, bought my first store. But while I got my first store, I bought a store that was underperforming, had one employee. That employee actually was sitting there going to sleep and taking naps on the tanning beds while clients were coming. it was that bad. I sat there finally. I had enough of it. I was like, look, and I documented everything. I had to let that employee go. And I was working with my store from 9 to 9 every single day. And then at night, I still had my day job. So I would do all of my day job work as a demand player and a national account manager at night. So I'm doing 40, 45 hours of that work on top of running a store. So I'm doing that until it's my staff. And so I point that out, like, dude, it's not easy. When something goes wrong, you have to be able to step into place. But once you get the right team, you're coaching your team up, it's a smooth process. Now the way I do everything is I do everything from my phone. For 12 months, I had to step into my first store. I stepped into my first store maybe for the first time 2 weeks ago in 12 months. And that was just because like my manager quit. So I want to make sure everything was going smooth. I'm trying to get everything back up to the way it should.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny about that is like a lot of people also, this is what bugs me about passive income is like, I don't think that doesn't exist. I just don't think it exists from zero. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like for you, you didn't go into your store for 12 months, but that was because you put in 12 months of 80 hours a week to get it to the point where you didn't have to be there. Right. And that's what I try to explain to people. They're like, well, I just want passive income. And I'm like, well, did you hear that on TikTok? Because you have the wrong idea. or do you actually have the correct idea, which is like, yeah, we can get this passive, but it's going to take a little bit of blood, sweat and tears to get it to the point where you can do that and just run it from your phone. Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, is people talk about like they want passive income. They were like, but your people that are wanting that passive income are wanting that passive income before they get the active income. They're over here sitting on the couch at home. They're on TikTok, scrolling your Facebook, whatever it might be.
Right, dude.
And they're seeing what everyone else is doing. They're like, you know what? I want to do that too. I want to travel. I want to do all this kind of stuff and not be in the store or actually work. But to be able to get to that point, you have to put in the work at the beginning. Like, it's not just going to fall on your lap. No one's just going to get it. You have to be able to work to get to that point.
I know one of my dreams is to be in a seminar one day and hear somebody talk about passive income. And then, you know how like in those speaking events, so like let people ask questions or whatever. I want somebody, my dream is to like be in that and be like, hey, so you were talking about passive income. It doesn't sound, you know, I just want to know how, like, you know, you went, you didn't have to do any hard work. You didn't have to suffer or grind or anything. Cause it's almost like, that's almost like an insult. Like if somebody were to ask me that, like, sounds like you didn't have to work really hard or long at all. And you just made $1 million and, you know, everything was just really easy for you. I'd be super pissed. I'd be like, no, dude, I had to grind for this. I had to work hard for this. But when you pitch that passive income, a lot of people are just, they think that's what happened, right? They were just like, oh, I got this idea. And then I thought it, and then I, you know, thought it into existence. And now $1 million floats into my bank account. And I don't really know how it works.
Yeah. Oh, and I think the other side of that too, is you have people that are throwing out that word, that key phrase, passive income.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's getting people to buy their eBooks. It's getting people to buy tickets to their seminars. And what it is, yeah, it's passive for them because they're not doing anything else. So like,
Right. But not passive for you.
But for
dude.
The average person, that's not the case. Even if you have rental property, you have maintenance, you have complaints, you have all these other things you have to do. It's not really passive.
Right. Well, and I tell people that too. I go like, dude, they're like, I want passive income in real estate. I'm like, have you ever owned a rental property? There is nothing passive about owning a rental property. Nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
for me, I would never own just a single unit rental property just because I'm not trying to deal with all the headaches that come in. Unless it was an Airbnb, because like if one person, that person moves out, you're over here, you're on the hook for the mortgage. And you have your personal mortgage or rent as well.
Yeah, dude. It's super risky.
Yeah. I mean, that's not, if I had the enough cash flow, then maybe. But I would, no, I'm never do that.
Well, and I have a lot of friends on both sides of the aisle. I personally don't like the real estate idea. I know that a bunch of people do that, but I it's just not my cup of tea. Like I'd rather buy a franchise where like you have, and by the way, I think it's important to note this, that you typically businesses outperform real estate all the time. Like,
oh yeah,
I think it's, I mean, I don't want to say a blanket statement, but it's pretty freaking close, like that if your business will, but because I, you know, especially the way that people do it now, you know what I mean? I go like, look, bro, unless you have 1,000 doors, it's not, you know what I mean? It's like pretty tough to have a rental business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing with me is I think real estate's more of a long-term play. I don't think it's short-term, near-term. I think you can get your little short-term cash flow where you're getting, let's say $1,200 a month, your mortgage is $1,000 a month, you're making $200 net cash.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But with a business, you might be sitting here and you might be doing 200,000 cash flow. Your no payment and everything is 50,000. So you're at about 200, you're making 150. Great. Like that's outperforming then, one or two units. So,
yeah. Oh yeah.
So for me, if I'm doing real estate, I want to actually do the McDonald's. I want to sit there, go into a commercial strip, buy the strip center, have my business pay that rent and pay the mortgage on that. And then I'm still here doing that long-term play where it's like, all right, cool. I'm building my portfolio and I'm getting that forced appreciation. And then I'm moving on to the next one and the next one and the next one.
Yeah. Well, and so this is crazy too, because I'm not a college basher. I actually enjoy like formal education personally. Cause one of the things I learned in my MBA that I think is not really that's kind of observed, but not really pointed out in business is the two types of growth in a business. So you have economies of scale, which is up. So like the more you produce, the less it costs to make it. That's scale, right? And you know that. Uh-huh. And then there's the scope, which is what you're talking about, which is what is really cool, right? Like I've got two franchises and I own the strip mall. So two other businesses are here paying my mortgage because commercial real estate's like, you know, you not only do you pay for the square footage, but you add the cams on, right? And the TIs or whatever, right? So you're really like actually netting all of that money. And then you have your two businesses. So these guys are paying for your whole commercial real estate thing. Your two businesses are making cash flow. So now you're in the business game, the rental game, and the commercial real estate game. And you just own a 4,000 square foot strip mall. Like that's scope and that's badass. Like that's how you do that, right? And I think you just, because now you have multiple streams of income, but it's not like separate things. They've all kind of come together.
Yeah, they're intermingled. It's crazy because you mentioned you're not a college basher, and I'm not a college basher. I graduated from the University of Arkansas.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I believe going to college is important because I learned the basics of accounting, the basics of finance.
Right.
And then I think once you get those, like, that groundwork, going to work for somebody else and understanding how a multi-million, billion-dollar organization works, getting that knowledge, taking that and applying it to your business, I think that is, like, invaluable. And then you mean taking it a step further, sitting there and finding yourself a mentor. So my mentor is the CEO of Glo. He's kind of, like, took me under his wing, and I've learned so much from him, and now, like, I'm growing at a rapid pace, and I've never even thought about owning the building that I was going to go into, or opening up a business, or how to scale a business. And then so applying everything, kind of putting in that little mixing pot, it's like, I feel like it's been kind of like a 10X.
Right. And the other thing is like, I think while we're talking about all of this, I think it's super important to remember, like, it just takes time. Like, it's okay that it takes time. Like, you know, you're going to eventually get that, right? And I don't know what the timeline looks for you, but, like, that's my plan too, but that's my long play, right? Like, get a strip mall, have a couple things in there, and then go, right? But definitely, like, it's there, and that's a great way to do it, because now you're in everything. But I just know people who own rental properties and do kind of other things, and I think franchising is a great way to just dip your toe in and get started in this business world. I think entrepreneur by acquisition is a great way to, like, get going, because one of the other pretty startling statistics of business is the people who, like, are seasoned professionals. So, like, you came out of SC Johnson, Tyson, right? And then you started, you have all of that background to help you be successful, like, because you've seen how a successful business is handled and run, right? Whereas somebody who's, like, you know, and it certainly can be done, but it's just statistically not in your favor to, like, drop out of high school, drop out of college, and have a multi-million dollar business. Like, it happens, but not as often as social media makes us believe it happens.
Yeah, no, I think to be successful without a degree, without being graduating from high school, it's going to be slim to none, but I think it's doable. I think it's going to take a lot, and pardon the language, a lot of fucking work. Yeah. The work that that person's going to have to do compared to what I'm going to have to do is going to be tenfold, because I'm already going to come out having that degree. And by having just that piece of paper, a bank is, like, from a financing standpoint, a bank is going to look at me different than Joe Schmello, who has no degree, because they're going to say, okay, this guy can over here, he can set his mind to something, he can complete it, and he's reliable because he has it. They look at things completely different because I'm a little piece of paper.
Right. And what I've learned about degrees is, like, it's not really about the education, because I do believe a lot of people just kind of pin it down. And I think, you got an accounting degree. So I don't know if you feel the same way when you see these posts on Facebook or, like, LinkedIn, or that are, like, mandatory like classes in high school. And it's like accounting, taxes, real estate, loans. I'm like, I fell asleep during physics when we were blowing stuff up. And I didn't want to be there, right? Like, you think a 16-year-old is going to sit through a 1040 form and learn how to fill out a Schedule C? You're crazy. I can't. I'm a tax guy, and I can barely. I don't even like sitting through that and reading that, and I have to for my job. So I don't know. It always is, but I think they're important to learn. But my point to all of that was, like, you can learn that outside of formal education, but the tools that you get and the nuances that you get and the network that you build and just that kind of added credibility, like, for better or for worse, like you said, like, you're in the loan world every day, right? And so hearing that come from you is like, wow, that's a big thing, right? It's not necessarily about the education. It's maybe it's about everything that comes with it. All those economic reasons, like, people will be like, you know, okay, you have a degree. That means you did X, Y, Z. That means you went to school. That means, you know, you did it online. So you were working full time and raising your family and doing this. Like, this guy knows how to work and knows how to get stuff done. And I think that's a great way to do it, right? I think there needs to be, like, some educational reform for sure. But for now, I think people are just focusing on, like, oh, I don't need to, like, I can learn that on YouTube. And I'm like, well, maybe, but I don't know if you'd want your tax accountant saying that he got, I don't know that you want your tax accountant saying that he got all of his education on YouTube. So
don't get me wrong, like, I think there's a lot of things you can learn remotely, whatnot, but there's certain things, and I'm pretty sure there's got to be a study somewhere, especially after COVID, where if you compare the amount of attention span that's being given to a certain subject or whatnot in person versus virtually, the quality of work, I feel is going to be greater in person, because people are going to get so distracted outside of work that, yeah, you might be learning accounting outside of it, but you're missing chapters 1 through 12 because you're texting on your phone. You're not going to do that as much in class when you're sitting in front of the professor who's going to throw a marker in.
Yeah. That's true, huh? Or yeah, dude, it's wild. I do love talking about like the changes that need to happen in education, but I think we've gone too far. Like, nobody's really come with a solution, because like we have to all be educated. Like, I always say, like, my MBA was the end of my formal education, but not the end of my education, because you got to like keep learning and keep growing and whatever that looks like, you know. But it's just wild, dude. I think a lot of people just get on this bandwagon because they and it's kind of crazy that crypto did what it did, because now I don't hear much college bashing anymore.
Yeah, well, it's crazy, because that's actually how I got started off with Globe. It was because of crypto.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't so, trash crypto. I love crypto.
So I was a big proponent and pusher. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, things started coming back. I'm like, you know what? I was like, maybe we shouldn't be pushing crypto so much.
Well, I don't think NFTs are a bad thing. Like, I will always be a diehard fan of NFTs because. Not because of the functionality, like not right. because of like you can trade them and make millions, but because like that can change the world. And I think we got caught up with NFTs, like making a bunch of money. But the reality is like, you know, blockchain technology is like life changing for people. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I truly believe can like end poverty in places because of the use case of blockchain and the NFT technology, not because you can make a piece of art and whatever with it, right? But like, it gives a lot of power back to creators and back to people when you decentralize assets, essentially.
I value crypto, especially Bitcoin, because it's decentralized. There's no like regulation right now and you can't print it. That's my biggest thing, is the fact that you can't sit there and print it. Whereas like right now, we went through 3 or 4 years of just nonstop printing of money,
right?
Causing the situation that we're in now, because now we're having to scale things back because of the huge inflation.
Right. Exactly. Dude. And isn't that crazy? Just like, and what's even like more eye opening for me is like, you have to stay up like with the economy, because that really, like, I don't think I realized before I got into business how much like these kinds of policies affect people's ability to like take out loan. Like, for example, the Feds just raised the rate from 4.75 to 5. Like, that's a huge deal. Like, a lot of people are just like, but you'll start feeling like we're all going to start feeling it almost immediately. You know what I'm saying?
Or, and especially for those that are trying to come into their own business, the ones that are like, take that plunge. That extra quarter of a point or whatnot might sit there and push their loan limit from $5,000 a month to $5,500, $5,400. You're talking an extra it's just insane.
Yeah, well, you think about it like this. That's like, if you go from 5 to 55, that's 10%.
Yeah.
And that's 10% that you can't take home in net income. Like, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Like, yeah, 10%. I mean, definitely a therapy for some of my software. Like, I'm not over here having to come up with another 500 just for software.
Dude, well, and you know, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. People just don't realize, like, you know, you're like, okay, a couple hundred bucks. But when you break it down and you compare that to, like, rates went up a quarter of a point. So 0.25, and that affected us 10% on the bottom line of our business. That's insanity.
And what's ending up happening though is then costs are rising, and then as costs rise, prices are gonna have to rise with it. So we're like, people, and then you have people sitting there cutting down their spending. So you might have been making $400,000, $500,000 in revenue previously. You might be making $300,000, $400,000. That might cut your entire revenue down by 25%.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Yeah, and people just, I mean, just don't realize how much that affects people and how it really does have an impact on everyday people. That you know, from a consumer standpoint and from a business standpoint. I mean, because at the end of the day, we're really all consumers, you know, and so trying to figure out where to cut here, where to cut there, like that's pretty exhausting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's why it's like, if you're getting. For me as a consumer, or not even from a consumer standpoint, just from an outside perspective, people forget that the average household income is between like $40,000 and $50,000 in the US.
Yeah.
People think you have this perception, oh, like everyone's making $100,000 a year. No, like that's not reality. No, right. You might think that's so crazy. Because you're seeing all these people living these lavish lifestyles on Instagram and social media, but that's not the case. Like right. I had a single mom who came in the store one day and was telling me, because I was just there helping fix a piece of equipment. She was talking about how she's a single mom. She has two kids. She makes $20 an hour and everything is going up in price. So like she's been impacted greatly. So she's having to find areas to cut down her spending. And she sat there and mentioned how she was going to cancel her membership because she's having to put about $60 to the side to feed her kids right now because of everything else.
Yeah. Which is just crazy, dude. Like, how do you not feel so bad right now? You know, I mean, not that there's anything. I mean, there's a, you know, and that's just a tough spot, right? Like, there's not a whole lot anybody can do, right? Other than we'll just like, we're all, because, and the reason I say that is because we're all just floating and we're all just carrying a big old pile of shit around. Like, everybody's got their own bag of shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's really hard, you know? And so we just empathize with each other. We've just realized that, we're in this spot. But yeah, dude, it's wild, bro. But anyway, dude, I really appreciate your time and I really appreciate all of your insight, dude. Before I let you go, where can everybody find Glow Tanning? Where can they get a hold of you if they want to do a loan? Cause you do those. Tell us everything, bro.
Yeah, man. So obviously for Glow Tanning, you can go to www.glowtanning. That's GLO without the W tanning.com. Shoot me an email. There's a link there where it says if you want to become a franchisee. If you're interested in learning more about the loans, you always just hit me up at Stanton, Stanton, at glowtanning.com. Anyone just wants to like have it, get any like input on like just opening up a business, getting loans, like I'm free to talk about everything. I'm very like transparent. Obviously I've been there, done that. So I try to educate other people on the entire process of getting a loan, opening up a business and the struggles that it takes. That because there's a lot more into it than a lot of people think, and I think one of the other things that really helps push people over the edge is having that little bit of obsession when it comes to their business. Like I'm absolutely obsessed with everything that I do, and if someone's coming into a business, they need to be obsessed with it and really sit there and try to figure out what industry can they go in and just disrupt.
Right,
like tanning is, you think about tanning, it's not a glamorous industry. It's not cookies. It's not coffee. It's not Pilates. It's like, it's the last thing you think of, but what we're doing at Glow right now is completely disrupting the entire industry.
Dude, that's crazy. And bro, and I hope more people hit you up, dude. Cause I love that. And thank you so much, dude, for being here. I appreciate it.
You know, for sure. Well, I appreciate it, Dalton. You have a great rest of your
week. You good, dude.